Well, it is all your prayers. I want to be faithful to the Lord to give what he gives me. I'd like to start with a scripture in the 10th chapter of Mark. It says, and they came to Jericho, in the 46th verse, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Evidently, this man, Bartimaeus, was well known. Different times in the Bible would just say there was a man. So he evidently was a known man. They knew him by name. And he sat by the highway begging. Did you ever think about what it'd be like not to see? Well, I know we have Sister Jane here. I don't want to embarrass her, but you ever think about not being able to see? My whole life rotates about around that. I can't really imagine not having it. It's a fascinating thing that God made. He made a couple instruments in our head that with lenses and it's complicated really. With all that it does, to be able to pick up light, transmit it into images, take it to the brain, and it produces information, images, that plants them there. It's amazing to me to think of that. We go through most of our life probably not really realizing what we have and what it really is. But if you look around here, you've got a really nice chapel. And the work that was done here was accomplished because somebody could see what they was doing. It's tedious, some of it. A few years ago, I started dealing with the idea of not being able to see so well. I have had a problem probably, I don't know when it happened, but I have an eye that doesn't work very well. My right eye really doesn't. I've never been able to see out of it very well. Years ago, the eye doctor said I probably had suffered rheumatic fever or something young, and it affected. But I've never been able to see out of my right eye very well. But my left eye was extremely well. The eye doctor always had told me that it was better than normal people's eyes. I had stronger vision in it. A few years ago, I started noticing that things was changing with me. I was getting older, and I couldn't see well. And I'm going to be honest with you. I like to face life with grace, but it started getting a little complicated in the way I was doing things. And I needed the Lord to help me because my eyes was changing. I didn't like it. I liked being able to see. Well, I'm glad for these little things that have. They're just little reading glasses. I have them. You'll notice me playing with them, moving back and forth, and I do a lot with them, fidget and all that. It's because I really don't know what to do with them when they're not doing their purpose. They're in my way. I really like to be able not to have to even fool with these things because they fit in a little case. I had two or three pairs of these. And I'll sit on them, smash them, step on them. They've dropped out the van. I run over them. I can't hardly keep them, but I found they make these little hard cases. So I got them, and I carry this in. But there's times that I'll leave this on the shelf or on the stand, or I'll go to the store, and I'll say, well, I need to know what mix to mix my, well, what is this mix? And I'll look, around to see if there's any good Samaritans around to help somebody out that can't read a label. And sometimes I'll pick somebody out and I'll just be friendly with them. Hey, how are you doing? Well, doing pretty good. I said, can you read? Well, fairly so. Would you mind telling me what this label says? Of course, I can't see it. I don't have my glasses with me. And I'll squint and I'll try, but I can't see it. And it really can be frustrating to not be able to see. I went to the river fishing one day, and we have these little baits we call trout magnets. We fish with trout. They're very effective if you know how to use them. I had some of them, but they're kind of expensive, so you use them sparingly, and you don't like to lose them. Well, I had lost one and went to tie another one on, and I didn't have my glasses. And that's a tough thing looking at that. And I tied that thing on and thought I had it on, and I flipped it out there in the water, and I went to reeling, and I reeled back in, and it wasn't on the end of my line. I don't know what kind of knot I tied, but it didn't tie one that held the hook on, and it was gone, and I was frustrated because I can't see without my glasses. I can't see. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the in a worse condition than that. He had no vision. He couldn't see. There's something worse than natural not being able to see. We only live this life for a little while. But the man knew the importance of being able to see. What it is, it's all of your life is around this. This was very important to a man's life. It's what the only thing that had him out there begging. There was nothing else wrong with him. You think of that. He was a whole man. He had all of his function. He could do what any other man could do. But he couldn't see. He couldn't get the images that the light was shining on, that others perceived and seen him. And therefore, he would stumble and see things, and he couldn't do what he couldn't work. He couldn't do things for himself. It put him in a situation of great disadvantage by not being able to see. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, Bartimaeus may have been blind, but there was something that had got in there. He said, thou son of David. Yes. Jews knew what that meant. Yes. That was code words. That meant the Messiah. That meant the Christ. When he said, thou son of David, it registered. Now, I don't know who the people were around him or what their idea was. I don't know that the people that are around him was friends of Jesus' or enemies. I don't know. Perhaps they was friends and was saying, you're not worthy to be bothered with. Our master is too big to bother with you. I don't know. Maybe they was enemies and they didn't like a blind man insinuating that this was the son of David. But blind Bartimaeus had something inside there that he had gotten. And he hollered out and he cried out, son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, be quiet. Be quiet. Don't make such a fuss. And he said something, and he went on and he said it to more. And I want to bring this out to us in this way. This is what trials ought to do for us. This is what opposition ought to do for us. This is what is the proper way of dealing with them. When they face blind Bartimaeus in his pursuit to find God, it made him cry the more. Brother Samuels used to tell us up home, he said, I'm just amazed. He said, when people need the Lord, the most is when they turn away from him. That's the truth. That's the truth. You see somebody getting in trouble with the Lord and needing more than they've ever needed in their life is when they start running away from him. I've seen it over and over, but blind Bartimaeus, when the trouble come, when the trial pressed against him and they started trying to say, don't say nothing, be quiet, you're disturbing the things, is when he hollered, it actually put more zest in him. It put more zeal in him. You try to stop me, I'm going to holler louder. Your voices are being heard, but I'm going to make mine louder yet. I'm going to make you be louder than me. I want the Lord to hear me. I want to hear me. I'm desperate. I can't see. My thought tonight is, and I want it to stick with us, my thought is, I can't see. Lord, help me. I need to be able to see. I gotta see. Lord, help me to see. Oh, I'm gonna tell you, with these eyes, it's necessary to see. But we need to be able to see beyond these eyes. I need to see. I need to be able to perceive. I need to be able to get images that go in and I understand. I need understanding from God. There's not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. I don't know how to do it. I'm desperate, Lord. I'm desperate to cry. When the old devil comes and he presses, let our voices be heard above that. Lord, I can't see. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what this trial holds. I don't know how to face it. Lord, help me to be able to see and understand and perceive and to know. And he cried. And it says, when he heard Jesus, he cried out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. Oh, in my mind, I see it. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he said somebody point the way, or I can hear which direction to go, or whatever. But he, whatever it was there that was to hinder him, he cast it off. It said he cast off that garment. I don't know if it was something wrapped around him or whatever, but evidently it was a hindrance to his mobility. It was a hindrance to him to get to something. By faith, he was facing the Son of David, the Christ, the Messiah, the one that can help him, the one that can help him to be able to see and to understand and to know. I need to know in this present world. I need to know how to live. I need to know where the enemy's at. I need to know what to say yes to and what to say no to. I need to know it. I appreciate those that give advice and opinions. But I need to know something from God sometimes too. I need to have more than just a nominal thing. I need to have something that's real. I need to know from God. I think he's willing for that. He's the master of opening the blind eyes. And he cried, Lord, have mercy on me. And it must have been so encouraging to this man, for when they said, well, arise, he calleth thee. My chance, my opportunity, what I've been listening for. The Lord say, come, come. I believe this today. I believe the Lord's got the answer to your problems. He knows the answers. I think he wants us to know the answers. But there is a place between them. How do I get the answers to them? God can do whatever God wants to do. I am convinced that if God wanted to, he could convince this world in a flash of in a moment that he's God. But he never has chose to do it that way. When Moses came to him and said, who do I tell him come? He didn't say to them, you just tell him, look out the window. It was what he has always done. He simply stated that he was and left it to us. He's all around. He's in everything. You see him? Can you see? our world's blind. I see him. I don't have no doubt of the existence of God. I see him. I see his workings. I feel it. I see what he does. I see how he works. We use the word see, but we see, we understand. It's a type in the Bible, a type of understanding. We understand the image has been cast forth. The its work, the eye of the Spirit has seen, and the image has been put in there. I have it in my spirit. I understand. I know. He was so desperate to be able to behold, to do that he cast off his garments. Lord, help us to have that kind of diligence. In this our time, we're in a time that seems like that there's laziness and lethargic behaviors around us everywhere. And it seems like that spiritual things are on a low ebb, and it's hard to get people motivated to spiritual things, and religion is rampant, but true spirituality and true holiness and true love of God is not. Lord, help us to see. We live in a particular time. What's our duty of this time? I need to see. What am I supposed to do? I know what the Bible is, and it goes out through the ages, but in 2012, how do we do it? What's the best way to do it? Lord, help us. Do you ever get a sense of the time that we live in? Down at the end of this time, the things that's going on in the world, you ever get a sense of urgency? Of the souls that are around us? A sense of Lord, help them to see the time we live in. People running on and the pleasures. Oh, Lord, help the pleasures of this world, the touch buttonness, the quickness of evil, and the accessibility of lustful and evil things are all around us. Desensitizing and causing people not to be able to see and understand. I look at them amazed sometimes at the obvious pattern or the obvious place that people have went to. The obvious path that got people to where they're at, and they stand around like they can't see. And I'm looking saying, well, it's obvious how you got there. And it's obvious that those that follow down the path that you went down will end up where you're at. And it's not hard to understand, folks. It's not hard to see. Many people through the generations have went down the path that you went down, and they end up where you're going. And it's like they can't see. Blind Bartimaeus wanted to see. And he put out the great energy of his life to be able to. Lord, help us to have that kind of a passion and desire to be able to see. I fear a spiritual blindness. I fear getting into the kind of place that I can't understand the things of my own life. Oh, it's one thing to even look around and see what you're doing. It's another thing to be able to look around and see what I'm doing. To understand what my actions is going to get me to be able to see. Blind Bartimaeus. And it says, he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amazing in the healings of the Lord, isn't it? To one man, he touches him. He needed it. He needed it. His faith needed it. Oh, there's something in the touch. There's something of closeness. There's something that can be given. Some needed it. Makes sense to me, but in one instance, he got down and put spit in dirt. Made a little mud thing. I don't know what all that really represents, but I do know this. It's what it took for this man's faith to grasp it. The centurion simply said, Lord, speak the word only. And the Lord didn't press the matter. The faith was there. To blind Bartimaeus, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He didn't need to touch him. He didn't need to encourage him. He didn't need to inspire him. Your faith. He had already responded. He had already reacted. Do you know the hymn of crying, the Son of David, was an action of faith. It was a recognition that I know who you are. It was a act of faith to push through those that tried to shut him up. That was faith pushing through. It was saying with the actions of his life, it's gonna be done. It's worth it. I can be a fool for Christ. He's gonna bless me. The casting off of the garments was an act of faith. I'm not gonna need them anymore. Going to the Lord. Lord gonna do something for me. And when he got there, the Lord asked him. I wonder why he asked him. The Lord knew what he was coming for. He wants to hear us say it. I'm going to tell you, there's something powerful in when we're willing to say it, vocalize it, put it to the public. Say it out. There's something that will respond in you when you do it. There's something that will build in you when you do it. Your own testimony, folks, is very important to you. It'll cause you and help you to be able to see. I like this illustration. I knew a guy one time that an incident happened and he lied about it. Now I knew he lied about it. I was there, saw the whole thing, knew he lied about it. He lied to the boss about what happened. I was there and heard and knew it and knew that he lied. And later, he told the story again and lied about it again. After a while, he got to telling me that story, and I was there with him. And he got to telling me the story, the lie. I believe to this day, the guy really believes the story he told. And my thought was always that if you can tell a lie, do you believe it? Surely you can tell the truth till you do. We need to tell the truth. We need to tell what the Lord's done for us, what our faith is. And he come and he said, what would I have you to do? That I might receive my sight. That's what I'm here crying for. It's what I come here for today. It's what promoted me to do what I've done. And Lord, you're the Son of David and I'm here and I need some help from you. Because my life is not whole. Now I'm not preaching about literal blindness tonight. But it is an allegory. It is a type. And he knew that he was not whole. And he knew that he could not function. He was functioning at a disadvantage in life. And it is true in the spiritual realms also. When we don't have a vision, when we can't see, we're at a disadvantage. And the devil takes advantage of us. And we need to be able to see. There's a remarkable scripture. I want to turn to it. It's in Judges. It's the story of Samson. 16th chapter of Judges. And I'll just go through some of it. Samson, to me, was an interesting character in the scriptures. Because Samson had on him a vow. An oath, if you will. To God. And God was faithful to his side of that. There was more to it, but Samson was given to the Lord. And that he wasn't to drink strong drink, I think it was, and various things, but there was never to be as a sign of the vow, there was never to be a razor come to his head. And God keeping that witness to him, Samson was able to do some incredible things. Inhuman things. And in the scriptures, if you read that, I'm going to take the time to do it, but you read it. But one of the fascinating things to me is that in the various passages to where he done the incredible things, It said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. It sounded like that he went through life pretty much like you and I do in the things that he did. But when the covenant needed fulfilled, when the urgency was there, when the need was there, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he was able to do things outside of anything that a human could have possibly have done. That's incredible. It's amazing. And I think of old Samson, and I think, Samson, what a fool. That was his call of God. His place. That was what God had him to be. Gave him that for the purpose of securing Israel, to bless the people, to be what God wanted him to be. On him was that vow. And God come on him. It should have been the most precious thing in his life. He should have embraced that and held it so close to him that no one could ever get close to it. But Samson dallied. He made it trivial. He was indifferent about that to the point that he became loose with it. God wants our solemn vows, our consecrations, the meaningful, the convictions that he's given us. We're to hold them dear to us. It is a covenant with God. He said, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. And he'll work mightily for us. But he wants us to keep precious the vow, the oath, the covenant. More valuable than anything else in life, he wants us to have to understand it, see it. See it, Lord, help us to understand and see that. To make our covenant with God, our commitment in this time to be clean and pure and to live for God. Samson had a gift like no other of the scriptures ever had, the strong man, Samson. But because he was that, and it worked for him. He done some things that he oughtn't done, but the gift worked. The covenant was there. It didn't say if you go off with a strange woman. No wines and air didn't come out. God kept his word on that. But he began to get in places that was going to get him in trouble. He should have never done it. It should have been too valuable. Yours should be too valuable to you too. Do you ever have to tell the Lord something? You ever had to come and say, Lord, I tell you, I'll make it, you deliver me out of here. I told the Lord that, and I aim to keep it too. I told the Lord, you saved me. Weeping and crying, didn't know what I'd do with my life. You saved me, and I'll live for you. I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I didn't know that the Lord was going to want me to preach. But I come to the place that I had to say, Lord, I told you I'd do it, and I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't know how I can do it. It don't seem in me. Don't think I was made that way. I'm not very smart, and I'm not learning how to use grammar well, but Lord, if you'll help me, you can do something with it. I'll give it to you. I even told him one time, Lord, I'll be the fool. The only thing I know how to do, I'm going to get victory here. I'll be the fool. It was the covenant that I made. I can't go back on it. It's where the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily. It's where I can trust in. Got to be able to see it in 2011 because it's still the same thing. And here's the great strong man pulling all of these stunts. Goes down there and rips the... And the Spirit of the Lord come mighty upon him. So he grabs the gate of the city and take off with it. Another time the Philistines was there and he takes the jawbone of an ass and kills 1,000 of them. And the Spirit of the Lord come on him mightily. And he worked them over good, over and over the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And he works them over. And then he goes down there and he judged for about 20 years, a judge in Israel. He's a man that should have been able to point people to the right directions and encourage them and inspire them and told them, keep your covenant with God and God be real to you. And he goes down there and gets his eyes on a Philistine woman. If he loved the gift of God in him, he'd have never went down there for that. See, she had loyalties to the Philistines. That was the enemy. But he was a strong man and the Spirit of the Lord came on him. So he didn't respond. Oh, it'll never get me. It'll never get me. And he went down there and his eyes went to a Philistine woman. And he fell in love with Delilah. And they come and bribe her. Boy, she really cared about him, didn't she? And you know the amazing thing about that? Not too much before that in the story, the other sister done the same thing. Come in and was deceiving on him and he was falling for that. And now he comes and got Delilah, but he wasn't worried. Wasn't worried a bit about it. But listen to Samson's story here. In the 16th chapter of Judges, it says in the 17th verse that he told her all his heart. Well, let's go to the 16th. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. And he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hands, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. That's the way it worked. All he had to do was shake himself. He could shake loose anything. He says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. How sad that he didn't even see. He didn't know. He arose full of confidence, full of zest and zeal. And he shook himself. I can see it. I've seen people get ready before, get themselves ready. Just like all the other times. And he didn't know. Listen, folks. He didn't mean for the Spirit of the Lord to leave him. He never intended it. And it wasn't purposed. You may say, how can you blame him? He didn't really. Yes, he did. By being casual with the precious things. For not being able to see the ends of the roads that he took. For not being able to understand and hold it so dear to himself. Salvation is precious. Yes, it is. Hold it close to you. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for what the Lord's done in my life. I thank God for the security of my home, my children. I thank God for the security of my life. I thank God for salvation. I'm glad for it. I hold it dear to my heart. I want to keep it there. That's why I want to do. I hold it dear. But too many people don't see the ends of things. They can't understand what's beyond it. And they're like Samson. And I've had victory in my life. And I have victory in my life again. that flirt with the world and flirt with the things out there and get things too close. And after a while, they wist not that the Lord had departed from them. And they go into it and they're losing the battle and they're losing ground. And the enemy's taking ground over and they never see and understand. You know what the first act of the Philistines was to Samson when they got him? They put out his eyes. Now, I say, why? Why not cut off his feet? Because he can't walk if you cut off his feet. They don't want somebody that can't walk. The devil wants you to walk for him.
Yes, he does.
Well, why didn't he cut his arms off? That didn't take care of his fighting. Because the devil wants your arms. He wants you to be able to reach out to things. He wants to take your eyes from you so you can't see. And he can lead you around into what he wants you to lead to. And you got feet to go there and you got hands to play with it. And you got all the facility. He was still the man. He was still Samson. But he couldn't see. And the Spirit of the Lord wasn't there anymore in his life. And it brings a great challenge to me. I know the devil wants me whole. He wants a worker. He wants somebody that he can use. He wants to blind us so that he can use us in any way he wants to. Lord, help us tonight. Now, I want to look at another scripture and tie this scripture in. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And we'll go about the 4th verse. 3rd verse says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. You ever think about a blind mind? I want you to think about this now tonight. Think about this. You have a mind. Through your mind goes all that you understand. Your mind. Through your ability to reason and think goes everything that you know. Every concept that you have. Everything that you've embraced as truth. Every conviction has entered the windows of your mind. God made it that way. It's who we are. You have a mind. And it's possible to blind that mind. People have blind minds. How do they blind their minds? They blind it with a desire for something untrue. When the passion and desire for untrue things get in a person's heart, it blinds them to truth. They cannot see. And this says that the them that didn't believe. Believe what? The truth. They wasn't willing to grasp the truth, accept the truth, take the truth. And because they wasn't willing to that, their minds, not their eyes, their minds was blinded. This is the spiritual part. You won't gain anything spiritually unless you get it through your mind. Because we're made this way. It's a voluntary thing. We do it because we want to. Because we understand and we choose it. And it's the mind that's able to do it. When I say this is valuable and I want it, that's my choice. That's an acceptable choice to accept truth. And when we get something, anything in there, a passion, a desire, a lust, a thing we want outside that barrier, will blind our minds to truth. Happens all the time. People are blinding their minds to truth. It's amazing to me to see somebody that had such understanding go to a place that they hardly can understand anything of spiritual value and worth. And how did they get there? By the acceptance of something that blinds their minds. Talk to them and they can't understand the simple truths, the simple integrities and honesties and the things that go along with Christian life. They can't understand it. And how did they get there? They accepted a fragment, a bit of something that wasn't truth, and it took their minds, and now they're not able to receive anything else because their mind is blinded and not able to understand and see it. And it isn't, there isn't a soul in this building that's immune to being blinded by the god of this world. As soon as he comes with something that your heart will set on, it'll blind your mind. I have been amazed over the years at something. Talking to a man one time, I was in a revival meeting years ago. Man come up to me at the end of the meeting and shook my hand and said, I appreciate it. Think you're a man of God. Appreciate your messages. And said, here, I got something I want you to read. I took it and went on with it. And he said, I'd like to take you out to dinner tomorrow. Would you want to go? And I said, sure, we'll go out. And so I went and I read the letter. He took me out to dinner the next day. And we was there and I knew the question was coming. And he ended up saying, so what'd you think about the letter? Or I should say article. And I said, well, first thing I'd have to say to you is who wrote it? There wasn't no name on it. I said, who wrote it? Well, he kind of dropped his head. I did. And I said it. Now, how did I know that? I said, well, it's one thing's fairly obvious. You're either in double marriage or you're wanting to be. And he said, well, yeah, I found me a woman. And well, how did I know that? It's fairly obvious. You've twisted scripture all the way around. Got it all twisted up and got it all around. It makes sense to you. And you blinded your mind. You blinded your mind. Run into another fellow one time. And we was talking around. And he said he appreciated us. And he appreciated the saints. And he appreciated this. And then he said, but I want to tell you one thing. He said, with your group, you all have one of the ungodliest doctrines of anybody I know. I said, really? That's right. You all stand on divorce and remarriage is absolutely ungodly. And I said, well, you're either remarried or you want to be. Well, he dropped his head. Well, I've been remarried 3 times. And I said to him, how did I know that? You twisted this thing all around and you believe in something that you want to believe. You twisted it and you got it all twisted around. I've noticed that anytime somebody has a desire to want to believe something, their mind becomes blinded by the god of this world. Folks, there's not a person in here that is immune to coming deceived and blinded in their minds and unable to see simple truths about the doctrines of God. And the only thing that keeps us safe is the fact that we love God more than any of it. I am honest in my heart and I hold precious the gift of God and God's working in my life. I hold it dear. I would hold it above everything I've ever seen or known. I would hold it above all the ornaments of this world, above all the action of this world, all the entertainment of this world, everything that it gives, all the things of the world. I hold salvation more dear than all that, and it protects me against being blinded in my mind. Was it David that wrote, I love thy law? What an amazing thing to think. I love thy law. Can you imagine somebody going to the state senate and said, put some more laws on us? I just love laws. I just love laws. Laws are... No, not in the state senate. But God's laws and precepts are perfect to the converting of the soul. It's delightful. The barriers that it places and the places that it brings us to. Not only the barriers, folks, they got lessons to learn. There's places of understanding. They're great values in what God has said for us. Great values in understanding what's reality and what's not. What's vanity and what's not. What's truth and what's not. You can't know it for yourself. If it wasn't for this, we wouldn't know any of it. Lord, help us tonight. I need to be able to see. My message is, Lord, I can't see. What an awful thought to say. I can't see. Lord, I can't see anymore. What if all of a sudden, I had a friend of mine, it actually happened to his wife. She had perfect vision, and all of a sudden, a blood vessel burst in her eye. And all of a sudden, she couldn't see. She was frantic over it. I remember how she responded. She was scared and everything. And you know what she was scared about? She still had one left. And she protected it. And she wore glasses and she didn't need them. She put something over it and she didn't need it. She was so protective of the eye that she could see out of. Because now I'm down to one. And if it does it again, I won't be able to see. Lord, help me. I'm desperate. I've got to be able to see. Because if I can't see, I'm doomed. I've got to be able to see. Folks, listen. We live in a time that the devil's robbing our people. Don't let him rob you. Keep your eyes. Keep your eyes. Keep your devotions. Get to the place in your heart. Lord, I love you more than anything else. None of these other things matter to me. I'll put you first in this. God has grace for every position in life. Everything. He's got grace for it. But you know the getting of that grace, it's not like he pours it out on us in spite of ourselves. I don't find it that way. It's not in spite of us. We can fail of the grace of God. But it's there always available. There's been people that found themselves in the situations that I was talking about that was able to find the great power of that spirit that Samson had. And the Spirit of the Lord came on them mightily when they needed him. Because of the covenant that they made, they gave the Lord their life and said, Lord, I will serve you. And there has been women and men that their companions left. And the great grace of God was upon them. And they live such true and noble and honorable and holy lives to set an example to us. Lord, help us. We'll be able to see poor Samson. They put his eyes out and they took him down and hooked him up to the grindstone. And you know what he became? I hope the Lord will impress this upon our hearts tonight. He went from the great Samson with the Spirit of God on him, unconquerable and powerful, to a swiveled up, humbled down, broken down, beat down man without integrity or honor, chained to a load of the enemy's grinding stones. I see it happen in my spiritual eye. I see it happen. I see it happen at times to our youth, our young people, with the great potential of God. I see them lose it and become shackled to the grindstones of the Philistines. He pulled, and you know what they did when they had their times? This was the custom of the day. You wouldn't have wanted to kill this man. He was too much fun. It meant too much. And you have to understand what this really meant. All through the Bible, this is what it meant. When Israelites failed like that, and the enemy was able to get them, all the way from the time that they got the Ark of the Covenant, and every time they did that, what that meant was that the gods of the Philistines were mightier than the gods of Israel. That's what it meant to the Philistines, and this was the symbol of the greatness of their God. That's what it meant to them. And when they had their great gatherings and wanted to pay homage to their God and to make sport, they would go get Samson. He was a living proof of the might of their gods and of their prayers and of their prophets. They had prayed and they had worked and they had worked, and their gods delivered the mighty man. Oh, Lord, help. Cast down from honor and glory and respect and integrity down to a place like that. A servant of sin. A servant of the devil. Pulling his load. May make sport of him. I'm going to tell you, the devil's lying to you if he's telling you that you got something out there. He's going to make sport of you. And he's going to use you to show how great the gods of this world are. And how mighty and powerful and how great their influence is in this world. I like the end of it. Because there is hope always, as there is life. If you have lost your vision tonight, and you are chained to the grindstones of the enemy, I want to tell you, old Samson's hair, the scripture says, and in that time his hair began to grow. I really don't know all what that means, but I think it leaves the illusion in our minds that there was something left of the covenant. There was something left of the blessing still, that there was a hope still that had emerged. And in the time that he was there, and if you'll remember the story, blinded, beaten, but something began to grow back. Oh Lord, there's our hope for those that have went away, for those that have lost their vision. The hair began to grow back. The old blessing, the remembrance of the blessing, the remembrance of the power, the remembrance of how God worked mightily. The inkling was there, and it grew into something. And he told the young lad that had got him, he said, put me to the pillars that holds up the building. And he got there and he prayed a prayer. Lord, God of Israel, one more time, let me be thy servant. And God and the Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily. I don't know if there's any hope at all. It's in that last passage. The strength of God came back into the body of Samson. And he pushed the pillars. And the scriptures said, but think of the whole thing. His family came down. Here comes Samson's family. Probably got an old cart and ox hooked to it. In his death, he killed more Philistines than all of his life. But here come his family with the cart. Dug through the rubble. Get the body of Samson. There's my son. There he was. There was his life. For what it is, there it lays. Folks, every one of us will come down to that inevitable end. Lord, help us tonight. Walk with integrity. Have sight. See tonight. Guard your sight. Guard what God gives you. Guard it with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart. Don't allow the devil to steal the precious things of your life. Hold on to them. You pray for me. Great urgencies on my heart and fear. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.